We are marking 20 years since the U.S.-led invasion of Iraq, a war predicated, of course, on inaccurate claims of weapons there. The price was high in lives and dollars. U.S. servicemen and women poured into recruiting offices in the wake of 9/11. More than 4,500 of them died in Iraq. More than 200,000 Iraqi civilians died. Larry Kaplow was on the ground in Baghdad for many years. He was correspondent for Cox Newspapers and then Newsweek, and now he's Middle East editor at NPR. Larry, good to talk to you.
Hello, Scott.
Take us back to 2003. What do you remember about the feeling, the mood in Baghdad as the U.S. military invaded and was headed toward the capital?
Well, what I remember was a mood of fear and uncertainty. I'd gone there for years while the regime of Saddam Hussein was in power. He had clamped down on any kind of free speech. He had massacred Iraqis over the years when they tried to rise up against him. But now their fear was of his being toppled, and they were afraid of nobody being in control. I remember talking to a woman in a middle-class home in Baghdad. She said that as soon as there was no power in place, people who'd faced deprivation for years would be rampaging across the city and looting, and that was exactly what happened. I spoke with an Iraqi political scientist who's now passed away, but a very prominent one named Wamid Nadhmi. He laid it out. He said, look, I'm afraid that this will break down into factions being backed by foreign powers who will fight a proxy war here, and Iraq will be the battlefield. And that's what happened, is different factions were supported by the U.S., Iran, Saudi Arabia. So they were trying to warn us about what could happen there and how they might pay the price for it.
Tell me about that. After the fall of the Iraqi government, what happened to daily life? You mentioned looting.
Yeah, what was really stunning was how quickly it became apparent that things had gone off the rails. I mean, the looting started and went on for a couple of months, just unabated. People walking right by American troops and picking buildings down to their doors and light fixtures. And then there was massive power outages in a country that, you know, has huge supplies of oil. The lights went out. It was getting hot. Hospitals had trouble having reliable power. Despite billions of dollars that the U.S. spent with three contractors there, they never really could get the power up and running 24/7. You know, there was a famous point where then Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld said, well, this is freedom and freedom is untidy. But for people in Iraq, it was excruciating.
You know, I was covering the war from Washington at the time as a PBS TV producer. And then I was part of a team that was briefly in southern Iraq in May of 2003. You'll remember soon after the Saddam statue fell in Baghdad. Many of the Iraqis in the south who we spoke to, who had been brutally treated by this Saddam Hussein regime, indeed welcomed the Americans as, to use Donald Rumsfeld's term, as liberators. I remember that distinctly. I wonder what people told you. Was there any sense early on that our lives might get better here?
Well, there's very much a split screen, and because what you talked to people about was real, especially in the South, which is mostly Shia Muslim, and they had been persecuted very heavily by the regime. When U.S. troops actually drove up through one of the main streets of Baghdad on April 9th and the regime melted away, first of all, it was this unbelievable scene. You think of a big city like the size of Chicago, and suddenly foreign troops coming up in a convoy. People lined the streets. There was, at the end of the street, that famous scene that was people tearing down with U.S. Marine help, a statue of Saddam Hussein. But I remember I met an ophthalmologist. He was in a lab coat. And he said, look, you need to tell them to put their flag down. And I didn't even see a flag. He said, no, there. It was on the antenna of some of their Humvees. I said, well, that's just the U.S. flag. He said, no, that will be seen as an occupation. People will think we're replacing a dictator with another dictator. And there was that feeling all around that, you know, this was a country that had lived under many foreign powers. It never went well for them.
Speaking about this sense of a next occupier, did you sense the mood change?
Yes, very quickly. First of all, suddenly there are U.S. checkpoints there with nervous American soldiers. Checkpoint shootings became frequent. Just civilians who had no idea how to follow directions because they were coming in a different language would maybe go through when they were supposed to stop. They'd be fired on. that became a huge tragedy. And within a few weeks, I think April 28th, there was a small protest of Iraqis outside an elementary school in Fallujah. The soldiers thought someone had fired on them. They fired into the crowd and killed at least a dozen people. And that was what many people pointed to as the start of the insurgency.
For many of our listeners, the Iraq War is a historical thing. My son was 3 years old when I was sent over to cover this briefly. For those people, what do you want to tell them about what you learned there?
What I recall mostly from being there was just so many times I would talk to people I knew who had lost a loved one. You know, over and over, I'd be setting up appointments with people or trying to meet with them, and they would say they had a funeral to go to or had a calamity in their family. And I think it was the costs that stick out to me, the human costs. This was predicated on the false idea that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. There were statements about how the U.S. was going to be spreading freedom. Even if those had been premises that people would go for, something like this takes enormous commitment, huge resources, often has vast and deadly consequences that are not contemplated when people set out to do it.
Larry Kaplow was a print reporter in Baghdad from 2003 to 2009, and he's now Middle East editor at NPR. Larry, thanks for taking the time.
Thank you.